A lot of good sound bites from Sebastian today, so good job.
Hello and welcome to the Super Bayern Podcast. Bayern Munich picked up an important 3 points last weekend with their win over Borussia Dortmund, but the Bavarians were far from convincing and took a massive blow when Joshua Kimmich was forced off the field injured early in the game. Hansi Flick must now navigate the next few months without his midfield cornerstone, while the Bayern board have some important decisions of their own to make regarding the futures of a handful of veteran players. I'm Benjamin Scott, and I'm here to discuss all of that with my friends Garrett Kerber.
Party people, how we doing?
Making his long-awaited return to the podcast, Tim Richards.
I am the party person.
And, of course, Sebastian Zimmerman.
Hi, and very much welcome back, Tim.
Yes, definitely welcome back, Tim. Glad to have you on board. Glad to have all four of us back to do a podcast, and it's a good one. I think it's going to be a good one. So let's go ahead and talk about last weekend's game. Der Klassiker, if you will, Bayern Munich against Borussia Dortmund. Not necessarily the best game from Bayern Munich. Neutrals to the sport probably would have loved it, despite, you know, maybe the result. But Bayern Munich did get the win. However, it wasn't all positive news for Bayern. Joshua Kimmich left the field injured early in the game. It looks like he's going to be out at least until the new year, potentially even a little bit more from that. So it's a huge blow from Bayern Munich, and the question is just kind of floating up there. It's the one that kind of everybody's been talking about for the past week or so. And Tim, since you're back, we'll go ahead and start with you. How does Hansi Flick make this Bayern squad work for the next few months without Joshua Kimmich? Because we've talked on here about how he may be, if he's not the most important or maybe the most irreplaceable player in this squad, he's one of, you know, the top three. Definitely the most important player in that Bayern midfield. So how does Hansi Flick make this team operate going forward?
Yeah, very good question. And thank you for the very warm returns. I'm very appreciative. We've said like a number of times how important Joshua Kimmich is. I think everybody has. I think he's one of those guys that everybody that watches Bayern can see that he is the person that makes it tick. Like Lewandowski gets the headlines, Neuer makes the saves, but Kimmich is right there between both of them. So with him out, this is a, you know, you don't want to say it, but it is a big problem. Because he's been such a consistent part, like ever since he became like a regular first team player, he has been there. Like he's not had, I don't know if he's had like any injuries. Maybe he had like a little one like here and there where he missed a game, but this is the longest that he would have been out of the team for, and so that does pose a number of questions. Is like I think we'll probably touch on this in a little bit, but is Goretzka capable enough to kind of like shoulder that burden by himself and have somebody alongside him where, you know, Goretzka can be that Joshua Kimmich character dictating how things are going to go? Or is this now time for somebody like Tolisso to show this is the reason why you paid so much for him? So like obviously Tolisso was like Bayern's most expensive transfer at one point. And up until this point, he's kind of been a little bit unfortunate with injury. So maybe this is the opportunity that he needs to say, look at me, I am good enough to be here. I don't think anybody's questioning that he's not good enough, but I think considering the difficulties that he's had with like keeping his fitness and then when he is fit, like getting into the team, this is a fantastic opportunity for him. And also for guys like Javi Martinez, who, you know, it was reported that he's already left the club. So the fact that he could potentially get some time is hugely impressive. But then outside of that, we've got guys like Mark Rocha, he's just very much been on the outside. He had that cup game right at the start where he looked a little bit shaky at times. And then there's that whole question of like, okay, why is he being, like, why isn't he able to get into the team? Like, is this just a matter of he isn't good enough as somebody made like a mistake buying him? I think the position that he'll be playing when Rocker does get the opportunity to play, it's one of the more complicated and intricate roles to play. So obviously he needs a little bit more time. But this is, it's a number of questions that need answering. I think Bayern have been very much fortunate in so much as that the international break is happening. because it gives Hansi Flick, it gives everybody else an opportunity to essentially wait a week or so and think, okay, how are we going to approach this? But yeah, it's not going to be easy by any means.
Well, we'll talk about Leon Goretzka in just a second, because I definitely do want to address what you brought up, which is a really good point. But talking about Mark Rocha, it does kind of seem like, if anything, you know, Kimmich's injury could be almost a blessing for him. He may finally get those first team minutes, yet we haven't really seen very much of him at all under Hansi Flick at Bayern Munich. So, Sebastian, when it comes to you, I mean, for me looking at this, based on what I know about Rocha, based on the fact that Bayern, you know, pursued him for over a year, even if it was kind of behind closed doors, he seems like this is, you know, he's the natural one to step in here. But you also do have guys like Corentin Tolisso. And then something I want to bring up, some people, you know, on Twitter and stuff are suggesting maybe David Alaba could get his move into midfield. So, Sebastian, what do you think? Who do you think, I guess, is the most logical sort of fill-in for Joshua Kimmich as, you know, as Bayern go into some important games?
I think for me, I guess, the first thing that comes to mind for me is that how frustrating it is that Adrian Fein is no longer in Munich. Because for him, that could have been a great opportunity. I think for him, that would also be a pretty natural role to fill here. Well, that doesn't help us right now, so let's get over that, I suppose. I think Rocha definitely is a good player for that position, but I'm also not completely convinced that he's ready to do this basically full time, that he's ready to go 90 minutes on this position from right now, basically. So I actually think that Javi Martinez might be an option there. I'm not so convinced that Tolisso is a valid option because, well, I think he's looked much better when he was playing slightly more offensively. I think a lot of things we have liked in his recent performances was due to him playing a more offensive role where he has a bit more freedom. And so I think that would probably just be a step in the wrong direction for him. So not really my solution here. That puts us in a pretty bad situation, kind of, because I'm also not completely confident that Alaba is the right solution. Maybe you can try that, of course. I think maybe it is the time to try that now, but I'm not really convinced that this is something we are going to do until Kimmich is back. Because, yeah, we just don't have enough players for the centre-back role right now. And, yeah, Alaba hasn't been looking completely brilliant anyway. So I don't really think he's the guy to fill the role of Joshua Kimmich, who has basically played well in all of the games I've seen from him in like a year or something like that, or at least close enough. So I just don't think that Alaba is going to fit in there seamlessly. I'm just not completely convinced there. I really think I might actually go with Javi Martinez and maybe let him share that role with Rocha for a bit, and then let's see where that takes us. I suppose maybe that's the best option. And of course, it's completely correct what you guys said. Goretzka is going to be someone who's going to really have to improve here in a number of ways. I mean, he has been brilliant, but now it's going to be different. He's going to take on a lot of those responsibilities, and I really hope he's going to be fine. But I'm pretty confident that he's going to look good, and maybe this is even going to be another step for Goretzka. So this could also be an opportunity, I suppose. Trying to see that in a positive light here. Maybe it works out.
Right, yeah. I was going to say, it says a lot about Leon Goretzka and the growth, both literally and, you know, physically and, you know, just mentally, that he's had as a player over the past year, so that we just go ahead and accept that he's going to be the other midfielder playing during this time. So we obviously have to come to you, Garrett. Do you think maybe this is going to show us whether or not Leon Goretzka is like the real deal, if you will? Yeah, how much has he, you know, actually improved? You know, can he do it? Can he play on that level without Joshua Kimmich? Or is this one of those things where he only can work when he's played alongside a certain guy? So, you know, what do you think is going to happen with Goretzka over the next month or so?
I think what we're going to have to do is be kind of patient at this point, because I think a big reason for Goretzka kind of coming into his own is because of the way that Joshua Kimmich plays. But I don't think that it, as we all know, like, you can't just plug in any player on the Bayern roster and get the exact same type of results, obviously. So no matter who gets slotted next to Goretzka in the midfield, the way that Bayern play is going to look a bit different. And fortunately, we have a couple matches, I believe, before we get one of the opponents that we would really be most concerned about. Not that Werder Bremen or whoever else it is that we play before then, RB Salzburg, I think, are not opponents that we can, you know, just expect that Bayern are just going to beat them 8-0, you know. But the fact that they are going to be adjusting to probably the most irreplaceable player on their team, at least for that role, it's gonna be a big adjustment. And so I think it's kind of telling that Bayern were struggling in their own way, kind of lackadaisical, kind of it seemed like just kind of sleepwalking through matches as Goretzka was out. And then when he came back for the Dortmund match, all of a sudden Bayern looked a lot more like the Bayern we were used to. So now it's just going to be probably a little bit of the same, where except now that instead of Goretzka being the one being out, now it's Kimmich. So we might even see it even a little bit more. But I think you're right, Sebastian, that it could actually be a situation where it shows another side of Goretzka that we haven't necessarily seen yet. I mean, I think, as everybody knows, over that the pandemic pause, you know, he really bulked up, really got his strength in order, and he plays more aggressive. He plays with physicality, and I think that was a really huge step for him. And I think playing next to Kimmich has helped him to play more aggressively as well, and so it just remains to be seen whether there are issues in his game that he kind of leaves open because he can rely on Kimmich to make up for any of those things. But I think we've seen how much he's grown by leaps and bounds, and so it's not unrealistic to expect that to continue. I don't think he'll get to the point where we don't miss Joshua Kimmich, but he's clearly on a great trajectory, and I think I think he's quickly becoming one of the more important players in the Bayern lineup. So I think that would just be my thing, is just be patient. The first few matches are probably going to look a little bit frustrating. He's probably going to make some mistakes because, you know, you get used to playing with a guy. But I would expect that, you know, by the time Kimmich gets back, Leon Goretzka is going to really cement himself as one of the better midfielders in Germany, if not in all of Europe.
Interestingly enough, as we talk about Leon Goretzka, he just assisted Leroy Sané for Germany against Ukraine. So it's nice to see that Bayern partnership working in the national team as well. But something else that's carrying over from Bayern Munich to the national team is a serious, lack of defensive awareness. And I think that was really, really brought to the fore against Borussia Dortmund, who definitely could have scored more than the two goals that they did against Bayern last weekend. So, Tim, how concerned should we be about, you know, Bayern's defense right now? And is this, I know that you're not a big fan of Bunasar, so You now have your platform to air your grievances with him, especially because I think he was a big offender in that game. But is there anyone right now, I guess, who is, redeeming their name in the Bayern backline? Because for the most part, it seems like maybe not quite everyone, but most everyone isn't quite living up to their potential.
I think Boateng's doing all right. I think Boateng's doing all right. That's probably like the best way to say it. I think he's doing fine. I still maintain that the best backline that Bayern can offer is Alphonso Davies, Lucas Hernandez, Nicolas Sula, and a right back. I think when Pavard's played this season, he's looked... I was kind of warming to him. I didn't really like him at the start of last season, but I was coming around to him. I think the way that he's played this season hasn't been brilliant. But that defensive partnership of David Alaba and Jerome Boateng, it kind of worked a bit. Well, I say it kind of worked. It worked at the end of last season, winning the Champions League. But there's clearly something that isn't quite right. I think David Alaba is maybe too agile. Jerome Boateng isn't agile enough. Like, they both have this, Alaba more so, have this propensity to move forward. I think they're obviously, Hansi Flick knows better than all of us, that if Alaba wants to be played in the central, if he wants to play Alaba in the central defence, then there's clearly something to it. But in my eyes, it makes so much more sense to have Lucas Hernandez in the middle, because he is that slightly more defensively secure defender. And Alaba has played virtually his whole career as a left back, while Lucas Hernandez has played a majority of his career as a left back. I do think that he is much more suited to playing through the middle. I think having somebody with that defensive awareness and intelligence next to Jerome Boateng can certainly make up for some of the ways that Boateng falls short. Saying that, I think Boateng has played very well in the past few games. He's made really good tackles. He doesn't seem to be going off injured after 70 minutes, which was like a very strange thing that seemed to happen every single game last season. But he's clearly improved, and I'm sure we'll get onto this in the future in regards to his contract situation. But I think between him and David Alaba, if I was to give somebody the contract that they're after, I think at the moment it's probably going to Boateng. I feel like Alaba is unreliable at times. He gets caught out. It's a big shame. But I think, as you suggested, the way that Bouna Sarr played against Dortmund, okay, he wasn't brought in to play those big games. Like, he was brought in so he can offer Pavard a rest, because he didn't really have that at all last season. But I think I said this when it was announced that he'd signed for Bayern, so he can have moments where he looks incredible, but then he can have even more moments where he looks incredibly suspect in defence. And I think Dortmund's first goal was a case of that, and a number of the times where Haaland had kind of beaten the defensive line and then just put it wide. I don't think that Bouna Sarr is or will be the level of Bayern. I think he's kind of okay for like a reserve or for like a rotation option, but even then, I'd still much rather have somebody like Kimmich in the back. I'd actually probably rather have Jerome Boateng playing right back than Bouna Sarr.
That's pretty bold.
There are a few problems. It is bold, but at least you know that this guy can make a tackle. I think I saw Bouna Sarr make far too many errors where he was like holding onto the ball for too long or just like completely out of position. I would much rather have that defensive stability out wide in the form of Jerome Boateng than I would Bouna Sarr. But again, he wasn't brought in to play, you know, Bayern's biggest games this season. But I think that's the difference between somebody like him and Rafinha. If you were to put Rafinha in at the biggest game of the season, you know he's going to work hard. And like, you know, he might, okay, yeah, he might make a mistake here and there. But at least for the most part, he was fairly consistent.
Yeah, but he's going to make consistent mistakes. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. That's what we love about Rafinha. You always know exactly what you're going to get.
Just making sure I understood correctly. Yeah. But you talked a lot about Jerome Boateng, and so that kind of gives us a perfect segue to move on, I guess, a little bit from the game last weekend and talk about some other stuff that's come up this week regarding Bayern Munich. And Jerome Boateng's name is actually kind of the one that has stolen the headlines. So there's been reports emerging in the past few days. Now, granted, they are from Bild, and so you'd never know what you're going to get when it comes to them. These could be totally based off of completely nothing, or they could, you know, have some truth to them. That's not really for us to determine. We're just here to talk about them. But the reports say that Jerome Boateng was told, or at least his agents were told, that he doesn't have a future at the club, that Bayern Munich aren't going to offer him a contract extension beyond this year. Boateng came out and, you know, had an interview with someone and said, I haven't been told anything about that personally, which he didn't deny that his agents may have been told that. So that leads me to believe there is a little bit of truth to it. But Sebastian, let's just assume that what's going on is the truth and Bayern have already decided, you know, Boateng needs to move on. Do you think this is the right call from Bayern Munich? Because Tim just said, you know, if it came down between Alaba and Boateng, give Boateng the contract extension. And it's looking less and less likely that David Alaba will be at the club next season. So burning that bridge with Boateng, do you think that would be a good move from Bayern? Yes, it's time. Let him go. Let's move on. Or maybe better to try and hold on to someone with some experience, as we're going to probably be losing someone else.
First, Ben, I guess I want to say that I'm very happy that you know the German media landscape so well by now. Sadly, you probably don't know the German band Die Ärzte. I think they say that in one of their songs that all the Bild consists of is, let me see if I can get it correctly, fear, hate, tits, and the weather forecast. I think that's what they say. Actually, we definitely need to be a bit skeptical about what they say at times. But I think it's not so unrealistic that this could be correct. And I guess when I think about it, I think it is not really a bad decision. While I also kind of agree with Tim, I mean, right now Boateng is kind of looking like a guy I would want to see there in the middle of our defense, because, yeah, he is looking slightly better than Alaba right now. But yeah, maybe I would put it this way: it is probably the right decision, but not a great moment to come out with this decision, I believe. There's really no need to talk about this right now. So if anybody actually leaked this to the media, maybe, yeah, that's kind of a huge mistake, because there's really no need to talk about this right now. And I think that Boateng's performance has always kind of been connected to his status and his mentality a lot. So I really don't think this is helpful. I kind of fear now that Boateng is going to play worse now too, because both Alaba and Boateng are now in kind of complicated situations with the club. And we really can't afford both of them playing worse than they need to right now. That could be a big problem as things stand at the moment. This is not great, but I think, as I said, it's probably the right decision, because I feel like we need to find another kind of center back of the future for us. And I think we probably need, someone who's, already a very good center back and who's going to play center back and not left back or anything like that. Like with Hernandez, we don't know. Is he going to be a left back of the future, or is he going to play at the center? Is he even going to stay here? Pavard is now actually looking like he's getting... he's going to stay on the right side, playing right back for us. So yeah, maybe what we need is actually a guy who's like, maybe, I don't know, maybe early 20s, but already a very, very good player at center back, who just goes in there and becomes, what Süle used to be, and hopefully can be again a player like him, basically another one we can really rely on. That would be great, because I really think we need that. And since Alaba is going and Boateng is just, right now we can rely on Boateng maybe, but we know that this is not going to be lasting too much longer. So we really need to think of the future here. And Boateng is just in the way if he stays, actually. So it's unfortunate how things are happening right now, but I think it's probably the right decision.
I would tend to agree with you, to Sebastian, too, in that Boateng is kind of, not necessarily had one foot out the door, but Bayern have been on the verge of pushing him out of the club, it seems, for the past few years, and are almost too hesitant to kind of bite the bullet. And I do think now is the time. I think if it wasn't for coronavirus and everything that played into that situation, we probably would have seen him leave this summer, but we didn't. But I think it is time to go. And you talked about that, you know, needing kind of a new young guy, early 20s, to come in and replace him. And two kind of things come to mind for me. First, we still have Tanguy Nianzou at the club, who hasn't even got any minutes yet, but according to anyone who has ever watched him, he's definitely got a bright future. He seems like he's going to be a fantastic defender, either, you know, defensive mid, center back. So we do have him, but also Deo Upamecano has found his name linked with Bayern a lot again recently, because he's been linked with the club several times in the past. So, Gare, we'll go and come back to you. Do you think Upamecano, you know, bringing him to Bayern, would that be a good move? Is he a good Boateng replacement? And then also, I kind of wonder, can Bayern offer him the playing time that he would want? Because he's definitely anyone who keeps up with football and who needs a defender has got Upamecano on their radar for sure. So can Bayern convince him to come to the club?
I think he'd certainly be a good addition. And I think he probably would he could come and step in right away and start, you know, alongside Sula, especially if, you know, if Boateng's not around, if Alaba is not around, you know, as it looks like he might not be. Obviously that'd be good. It'll be, like you said, it'll be a little bit interesting to see what some of the other bigger clubs offer in going after him, because will he want to stay in Germany? Will he want to go, you know, over to Spain or somewhere, you know, in England perhaps? But I think that would be an excellent buy. I think you also figure in that Bayern have been really high on Chris Richards as well, and his development. And so you look at that and say, is Nianzou and Richards enough to kind of give them some hope that maybe they'll be ready really soon, that sort of thing. But the thing with the Boateng stuff is it feels a little bit copy paste from a couple of years ago, where it's like, oh, you're gone. Don't worry about coming back next year. But here he is, and he's playing big important minutes, and he's playing pretty well, considering where it looked like his career was headed for a little while there. But yeah, certainly Upamecano is a guy that Bayern should definitely have on their radar. But I also wouldn't really be shocked if they go after a different name, and we start to see you know maybe a younger guy or a guy that they can kind of plug in spots, and we just start to see them implement or integrate Nianzou or Chris Richards in a few more spots here as the season progresses. Now that might be dependent on how Kimmich heals up, because if he's not going to be back, I don't know that you want to have a young Chris Richards or Nianzou as your last line. But I do think that it would be interesting to see that before they go down the route of spending big money to bring in a guy. However awesome as he's looked, bringing a guy like Upamecano.
Well, I think that does kind of play into the other kind of transfer rumor that popped up this week regarding Bayern. And I guess we should clarify that none of these are supposedly going to be happening in the winter. This is all speaking, you know, kind of long-term, looking into the summer. But Borussia Mönchengladbach's Denis Zakaria has also been linked with Bayern Munich. And so, Tim, would you think maybe a guy like Zakaria, who can fill in at multiple positions, not just, you know, he could play center back, but he can also play in the midfield if needed, would potentially be a better buy for Bayern Munich, especially since he'll probably be a little bit cheaper? Or is, you know, a name like Upamecano, who has proven himself at the top level and is only going to get better, do you think he would maybe be the better option?
I think the best option is probably to see what Nianzou can do. I think he's played centre back, he can play defensive midfield. I think if you're looking for versatility, you might as well see what you've got currently available. I think as as Garrett said, we don't really know what he can do, but the general belief is that he will be, like, he will grow to become a fantastic player. In fact, he's like, what, 18, 19? He's still incredibly young. Like, so he, I think he played 6 times for PSG, got a couple of goals, which is already impressive enough at any age. I would rather see Bayern focus on the players that are currently there rather than outsourcing to other teams. I think Zakaria is a really talented player and is the sort of player that everybody would want in their team because he can offer a great deal of defensive stability, both, as you said, in the middle, but also in the back line. But what's to say that Nianzou isn't that guy? I think if you want like a dedicated centre-back or a dedicated defensive midfielder, then yeah, Zakaria and Upamecano are two players that you should definitely want to buy because, you know, they're players that will do exactly what you buy them for, much in the same way that, you know, when Bayern bought Javi Martinez, he instantly fit in a defensive midfield and we were like, great, that's one problem instantly sorted. I think I would be, if I was in charge, my priority would be see exactly what Nianzou can do and just kind of build from there. Because otherwise it's just this, I guess, like needless profligacy where Bayern are an incredibly rich team and can afford to spend pretty much what they want at times. But, you know, as was mentioned, it's the time of coronavirus and they're not as rich as they would like to be. So in that sense, look at what you've currently got and then do something with that. I've got ludicrously high expectations for what Nianzou is going to do. And I've been very wrong about these sort of things before, but I've got to be right sometime. And so I'm kind of hoping that this will be it. So I would focus more on getting in that young talent rather than looking elsewhere for it.
And that, I guess that's why it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me that they would be telling Boateng right now that you're not in our plans for next year, because I think we've seen he's even, no matter what you think of him, he can still be useful for Bayern next season. And so unless you have somebody in mind that you know that you're going to get a deal done in the winter to shore that up, why wouldn't you just wait to make that call? I mean, I guess maybe his agents are asking about it or whatever, but it would just seem to be more of a situation to me where Bayern would say, let's see what we have in some of these younger guys like in Nianzou, and we would then make our decision on Boateng, because like I said, he can fill a role and he can play it very well. And it seems like he's kind of worked his way, you know, mentally into, you know, if I have to, you know, just play spot minutes, you know, then I'll do that and be a good servant of the club, you know, sort of thing. And I think Bayern could really benefit from having him around, especially some of these younger guys. But it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense unless they know exactly of a deal that they're going to work out in the winter to already be telling him you're gone at the end of the year.
Since we're already on the topic of, you know, the transfer market, you know, different players and whether or not Bayern should be outsourcing, I want to talk about what Lothar Matthäus recently said about Bayern and I guess kind of hear your guys' thoughts on it. So Red Bull Salzburg obviously have a very talented player in Dominik Szoboszlai. I hope I said that correctly. And Lothar Matthäus said Bayern Munich should be targeting him, essentially insinuating that he's kind of like Kai Havertz and that he could be the long-term sort of replacement for Thomas Müller. So first, you know, if any of you guys, and I know Tim, we may have to come back to you because you talked about him a little bit on your YouTube videos, but do any of you guys think Szoboszlai is good enough where it's like, yes, we really do need to bring him in, he's got that potential? Or is this, again, maybe another case of, well, why don't we just, you know, wait a second, let's see what Jamal Musiala has to offer as maybe a Thomas Müller replacement, or maybe you see him more as a winger. But, you know, wait and see what he has before we go and get someone like Szoboszlai. So I guess, Tim, I'll come to you first then. And if, you know, either of you other two have anything to add about him go for it.
Yeah, I really like him. Again, I don't know how to pronounce his surname, so I've kind of taken to calling him Big Dom from Hungary. But I think everything that I've seen of him, which I'll admit isn't heaps, like I've seen like highlights and also a couple of games for Salzburg, and I'm planning on watching how he plays for Hungary. I think he clearly has this fantastic ability to find space out wide. He's quite quick. He's a great playmaker. He can score goals. All doing this as a very, very young guy. I think he's literally just turned 20, like a few weeks ago. I think the way that Salzburg have been able to produce like quality talent over the past, I guess, like 10 years or so, like, I think we're all supposed to dislike that Red Bull model of football, but they know what they're doing. They're hugely impressive at it. And he is certainly the next big name to come out from that outfit. But then again, that kind of goes completely against what I was saying about Nianzu, because as you suggested, the way that Musiala's been playing, I absolutely love the guy. He is very young. I think he's still 17. And the fact that he can, you know, comfortably play with the seniors, okay, you wouldn't necessarily start him, but he's still great coming off the bench. He's only going to get bigger, and he's only going to get better and bigger. He's probably not yet finished growing. But, you know, you put him on the Goretzka like diet plan, and who knows what could happen? Maybe he'll become an absolute tank. But I think I would love to see Big Dom from Hungary join Bayern, if only for the fact that he can, you know, be that sort of, I guess maybe the person to take over from Müller. Like, he typically plays on the left wing, but he can comfortably play through the middle. And I think considering that, you know, Douglas Costa, he's probably not going to get bought because he is still just on loan. I think that the timing couldn't be better, really. I would be more than happy to see Big Dom from Hungary join. But at the same time, I still want to see what Musiala can do. I don't think it's an either or. I think mm-hmm. you can comfortably have both. There's a lot of positions.
And that's exactly what I was about to add in, is that 3 years isn't a massive difference, but 17 to 20 is a big enough difference. I think I'll go with Big Dom from Hungary as well. That's kind of catchy. Big Dom from Hungary, I think he can plug right into the starting 11. He's someone that he's probably reaching Bayern level right now to be starting consistently. Whereas Jamal Musiala, even if, you know, Big Dom was to come in and start playing more for Bayern, Musiala still can get minutes here and there, especially since he is also very versatile and can play on the wing, that it definitely isn't an either-or scenario. It's, you know, maybe we can look for a both-and type of thing.
So, although it probably doesn't matter much anymore because you'll find a much better name for him, I believe it's Szoboszlai, because S and Z, from my understanding, is just an S in Hungarian, from what I've gathered from Hungarian students I'm teaching. So I guess that's what it should be, which makes it kind of easier, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just my two cents on the guy, if I may. I think, yeah, you cannot really go wrong with that, because I can't imagine he would be kind of forbiddingly expensive or anything. So I guess it is a good option, at least. I mean, I don't like to trust what Lothar Matthäus says in basically anything. maybe when we're talking about 20-year-old women who are already too young for me and have been too young for him for 40 years now or something like that. But I guess that's the only thing I would trust him on, because he's an actual expert. But yeah, that makes me a bit skeptical there.
Oh, incredible.
Yeah, this is, I guess it's one of, sorry, I think it's one of those rare occasions where he's right. You know, a blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then. Lothar Matthäus says something that's not ludicrous every now and then. So, yeah.
I just wanted to come on off of mute to tell everybody that Leon Goretzka has 2 assists now in today's UEFA Nations League match. So, get on board, everybody. Goretzka train is leaving the station.
Very nice. Well, unless you guys have something else that you want to bring up, I think that's a good place for us to wrap this one up.
I don't know. I just have like several complaints about the Germany team, but
We don't have time for that.
No.
I think we could... I was going to say we could have an old episode dedicated to that, but I almost think we could create a whole entire new podcast dedicated to that.
Yeah. I've been trying to make a video
Germany
about it.
Podcast.
You know, every time I watch the team, I don't think they could get any lower, but they do. Yeah. That was supposed to be...
That is not... That is good. That is very good.
Yeah, that's a really bad pun, but that is all the time that we have for this one. If you have enjoyed listening or are a regular fan of the podcast and you haven't already, and especially if you're happy to have our boy Tim back, please do us a favor and give us a 5-star review. We would greatly appreciate it. If you want to get in touch with us, there are a couple ways you can do that. You can either email us at superbyronpod@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter @superbyronpod. Get in touch with us there and just keep up with all things Super Byron Podcast there. All of our episodes can be found on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. We're probably going to be there. Thank you for listening. Go out and tell all your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.